Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? We're having a little technical difficulties here. I'm getting really irritated with Block Talk. I don't know if it's Block TV. Block Talk Radio or what. But this is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio. Here on Block Talk Radio, and tonight we're having 2 hours of angel readings and chatting about whatever, which we're actually focusing more on, like, relationships and just things in general like that. It's just one of those things of focusing on what is true love. True love is one of those things that people think they have this vision of what it is and what it's all about, but realistically, in the idea of pursuing, you shouldn't be pursuing anything. It's one of those things we call, put a word on it for you, attraction. Now see, it's a contradiction, isn't it? I want to attract the right man into my life. At the same time, we're pursuing it. And, you know, it's like if you're pursuing something and you're at the same time you're attracting it, at one point you'll run into it and pretty much knock it the other way. So in the situation of focusing on things, I think it's one of those things we should be focusing on the true thing. True love begins with truly loving ourselves. So if you don't love yourself, even if you sit there and complain about anything that has to do with your life, you're complaining about you. So you need to sit down and really think about that. Look at these situations that you're not happy with and change those things. In the process of actually, like we said before, if you're going to sit there and write down in a book exactly the kind of person you want to be with, the traits, the kind of relationship, and the whole thing, if you don't take the time to actually make sure that you are those things, the attraction part just does not work, does it? You can't attract something that you're not. But you can become it. So therefore, if you feel like you need to become more of a loving person, then focus on that as itself. Because I feel like if you do that, and focus more on just loving unconditionally and love yourself and realize, yeah, you have some good traits and bad traits, don't we all? But the idea as a whole, you're a great person. Have you done some things in the past that you're not too happy with? More than likely, we all have. But it's one of those things of realizing that those actions are not who we are. Those are the things we've done. And if we're sitting there saying that I'm not too happy with it, I'm not happy with my life, then you're not happy with yourself. If you're not happy with yourself, why are you not happy with yourself? What are you feeling guilty about? You know? That's the thing. If you have a person that comes in and makes you feel guilty, says anything to the sense that makes you feel guilty, you need to stop. Sit down. If not, if you want to work with your angels, which I'd recommend that you do anyway, work with God and your angels and ask them to help you point out things. Why do I feel guilty? When this person says this, this, and this, why do I feel guilty about it? And be honest with yourself and what you see and what you hear. Therefore, you can deal with it. I guarantee if you deal with each one of these little situations that make you feel guilty, somewhere down the line you've done something wrong, and you have to admit that. Does it make you a bad person? No, it's just a place to start to say, okay, I did do that. Why did I do that? And do I want to repeat that? If I'm focusing on being more of a caring, loving person, then in this situation, in order to be a more loving person, you have to love yourself and realize you made a mistake. You did something you're not too proud of. But it doesn't mean you have to continue to do it. And, I mean, just take a look at the situation and go, okay, if I was in a relationship and I got really into it and then I ran away from it, but I still care about that person, I still love that person, and when I sit here and talk to that person, it makes me feel guilty because of what I've done to that person, you still love that person. You still care. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't think those things. You wouldn't think about them, you probably wouldn't miss them, you wouldn't wonder if you could have done things differently. So you still have the feelings. If not, then you wouldn't care one way or the other. Next time you catch yourself responding to an ex who has said something to you, ask yourself, why did I respond in the first place? So there's something inside you that still wants to communicate with that person. You're just not really understanding maybe at that point what it is, but there's something in subconsciously within you that's telling you that you need to reach out to that person, even if it's just the idea of saying, sorry, I did do something wrong. But look at these things. Sit down and love yourself. Care for yourself. And say, I need to really work on these things, let them go. Or maybe I will never have anything, as in a really caring kind of thing around me. If you're a person who doesn't have a really strong self-worth and you're looking for other avenues, then I would say that your friendship network is not working either, because you don't have any supportive people. You don't have any people in your life that maybe reflect what you want to be. And I'm just saying, take a look at your life. If you're not happy with your life, you've attracted all these things into your life. Nobody else has done it for you. There wasn't anybody substituting that day in your life that brought those things in, and now you got to deal with them. That was you. So we sit down and we go, okay, are these friends good for me? Do they encourage me to be more than what I am? Do they encourage me to go deep within to find my hidden talents and then utilize those talents in my life? Do they push me to be better, or do they constantly keep telling me how good I'm not, right? That I'm not good enough? Because I feel like in a situation, if you have friends that are telling you that you're not good enough, what they're saying really is they're not good enough. And they can't see it. They can't see the real you. Let's say that you have a significant other that comes into your life, and you're sitting there going, this person sees me, and he's really motivating me to be better, to utilize those gifts. Maybe I can use those gifts and take care of myself. Maybe I can start that business I've always wanted to do. Maybe I am a fantastic healer. But then you have these friends around you who keep wanting to denounce that all the time, put you down, keep telling you, no, 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 you're not ready for it yet. But there's one individual who can see those things. Shouldn't you stop and ask yourself, the people who keep telling you you're not good enough, are they really seeing the full potential here? Wouldn't you want somebody to sit there and say, maybe you're not good enough right now, and point out how you could be, to realize your dreams, to be that nurturing, supportive, pushy friend who knows what's, you know, looking at you going, if you just embrace it, your life could change so drastically. Say you're in a situation and you're happy and you're smiling all the time because of the significant other that's in your life. And then you start having these friends that start criticizing that. First of all, they don't have the right to criticize because they're not living it. They're not you. They're not him or her. Whoever it is, they're not them. So they have no insight. They have no right to say anything. What they should do is be supportive of the choices that you've made. And then when things fall apart, be there. Not to the person that tells you, told you so, but be the person that said to motivate you to keep going on. Focus on being happy, finding the happiness within yourself. Because let's be real, guys, no one can make you happy. That is your responsibility. It's nobody else's. And if you're hanging on to people in your life because they make you happy, then you should think about the ideal of what you're doing is using those people to basically mask insecurities that you need to be working on. In the process of going inwards, and if you're a person that's constantly looking for outside stuff to make you happy, then you're definitely not looking in. And ask yourself the next time someone says anything to you, and pay attention to your reaction. If you go right to defense mode, then you're definitely not looking at the problem. You're not realizing what the situation is. You're not realizing that everything unfolded because of the way you thought, the actions, the situation, every one of those things, if you trace it down the source, it comes right back to you. So if there's anybody out there who wants to get a reading, we are doing free readings tonight, and I just want to bring up some things about relationships. Everybody, just sit there and think about the focusing that you need to do. The best way to change your world is to change you. So therefore, you need to go within. But also with the situations of relationships, we should never go into relationships with the attitude, if it doesn't work out, I'll just find another one. No, we should go into that relationship like it's going to be the one that's going to last forever, because that puts you in a position to find solutions to keep it going, to keep things up, keep this thing. And solutions are the one things about helping us deal with our problems. And say you have a boyfriend or girlfriend who's controlling. There's a reason why that person's controlling. There's an insecurity, a fear of their own, and it's reflecting through you. So therefore, the reflections that you reflect each other. If you learn how to live and learn from those reflections, it brings you closer together because you attracted each other. So So just trust that attraction that brought you together. And the attractions that go on just on all four, five levels, you know, emotional, physical. I'm trying to figure these things out in my own head. Physical, emotional, spiritual. There's another one there. And we should say financially. Because, you know, the idea of going out there and having, you should never have on your list a person should make a certain amount of money. What that's actually telling you is when you look at that, if you want someone who makes $250,000, you better be making $250,000 a year yourself. All right? I'm having a problem here with this freaking. Let's try this one more time. Let's refresh. As we were sitting there looking over some things, for some reason my switchboard is not working. Is it still counting down? And it shouldn't be counting down. Okay, cool. We do have callers. See, I didn't know we even had any callers. So what we're going to do real quick was we're going to go sit my piece. I just want you to all to think about relationships. Relationships are very important. But relationships don't work if you don't have a good relationship with yourself. Enough said, focus on with going in within. Focus on the essence, okay? If you all want to know what the essence is within yourself, focus on that space behind your heart. That is your God essence, okay? It's like a flame, a blue flame. Focus on that. And as you're focusing on it, tell yourself, I love, I love, I love, I love, I love. And the process of saying, I love, I guarantee you're going to start feeling your vibration going up. And what it's doing, at that moment, what it's doing is it's helping you to reconnect with yourself. All right? You're going to reconnect with yourself. As you're reconnecting with yourself, then you're able to unconditionally love everyone in your life, no matter what they've done to you, no matter what the situation, no matter what. You will always find a way to love those people. And if you're not, and you're looking, if you're looking for a way out, and you're running away from it, you should ask yourself what are you really running away from, and more likely it's your own feelings. Do you love? If you sit here and told anybody that you deeply love them and you really want what you have, and then one day you find yourself just looking for any kind of way out of it, that's your fear manifesting into exactly what you were scared was going to happen, and it's a separation between you and them. So we don't want those to happen, so therefore, look at the situation. Don't be a person who's going to look back later on in life and go, I regret doing that, and I wish I would have made a better decision. Maybe it would have been differently. Look at it now and realize that any kind of connection, more than likely, it's still there, and it should be explored. Even if the person tells you, I don't want nothing to do with you after what you've done, you need to go there and see what's up, because that way you've got an answer, and you know what is. That person tell you we'll never want to see you again. Okay, fine, thank you. And you move on, you realize, well, if I would have done what I did, I wouldn't have got that reaction. But I've seen it so many times with relationship counseling and the couples I've worked with, the people I've worked with, they've gone back to those situations and apologized and realized the person was still kind of like wondering what happened, and they still got back together anyway. So it's one of those situations. If it's meant to be, it will be. So let's go on to our first caller. And I just want to tell everybody out there, and I do private readings as well, so if you want to give me a call, it's 740-601-1057 or 740-500-8863. I do private sessions, and I'd be glad to work with each and every one of you, and I work with anybody's budget. You can also check me out on website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Anyway, let's go on, and if you want to give a call here right now and get a reading, number 646-721-9031. So let's go to our first caller. I don't know the number here, but it's looks like it's either a Skype or an unknown number. It's 1111111. It's at this little circle. Stop spinning so we can get you on the air. Okay. Don't you hate that delay between pushing a button and actually getting a response? We're not getting. Come on. I'm really having trouble with the computers tonight, and I can't figure out what the energy level is, what it's all about. Let's put it this way. If anybody's there, I am. You're on the air. Let's see what we get there. Okay. Hold on, people. And we're going to sit there and go over this thing one more time. It seems like every time I click on anything, it takes me right back to the sign-in page. And we got to do it all over again. Maybe we get something going. Oh, I'm just going to scream. All right. All right. There we go. We're back up here. And let's try this again. All right. The phone number is 11111. If you can hear me, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and what's your name? Hello? It's either a Skype call or a private number.
Well, they're not there.
Could you give us a... Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Well, how are you?
Oh, I didn't know I was calling on Skype. I thought it was an 818 number. Who knew? Maybe it's restricted.
818 number.
Well, how are you doing?
Like I said before, it could be a private number.
Oh, I was confused. I'm sorry. I didn't even think about dialing star 82. How are you doing, Dan? It's been a while since I talked to you when I was in Texas. I talked to you like in May, April or May. I used to call in and help you do tarot readings. But you didn't stop doing the dang show, and I thought you were gone forever.
No. What's your name?
Gail.
What is it?
Gail.
I'm just right now trying to remember everybody because I just took off and just got so. I think it was one of those things where we get ourselves in a situation, we make decisions, and then when we get decisions, we're like, oh, I wonder if I made a right choice. Once I know every time we make a choice, we go into a different direction, a different path, so we're there to learn something. But, boy, the frustration behind that whole thing where it's trying to really remember everybody.
Oh, that's fine.
What do you do, Gail?
Well, I'm in California now, and I'm an assistant now, but I actually just moved to California in June. I think as we were talking about the last time I talked to you, so I'll be moving around June. I left like the end of May. And I moved, of course, with a leap of faith, and everything's been going wonderful except with my housing issue. I haven't had like stability as of yet. But I feel like it's a turning point and things are going to be stable. I just don't know when. Soon.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing, isn't it? When is it going to be stable? And what you need to do is you need to focus on, I still feel like it's a situation I've been hearing all night. A friend of mine gave me this prayer and said that a certain particular person I was involved with, I needed to ask myself, what do I want? And it's just the idea of being loved unconditionally as I do. So it's more like saying love and respect those people for who they are right this moment. And then also pray for yourself to be more of a loving person, to love more every day. And when you do that, I have noticed that people come out of different places to help you with certain situations that you're going through. So because we always think about the situation of what do you want, and sometimes we think it's something tangible. For example. Like in a relationship, we want the relationship back. We want to be with that person. When realistically, if we simplify it, what we really want is to be loved. Because we're baffled, we're confused because that's exactly what we gave, and we're trying to figure out why we're not getting it back in return. And it's the same thing with anything. Yeah, but if you look at everything, work, any kind of anything in your life that you're looking to really for it to pan out, what you're looking for is just someone to understand. And realistically, you're looking for someone to love, care about the situation you're in, so therefore you can find a solution. So when we start focusing on the materialistic part, I guess you'd say, I need my housing to stabilize. Well, what we're really saying is, who, you know, in the situation, human beings and even spiritual beings on this planet, and everything seems to move very quickly when you put love in the energy of love there. Things seem to move a little bit better. One thing we was talking about, too, with relationships, I was trying to put out there, and to simplify the whole thing is, when you're in a relationship with somebody and it goes really fast, that doesn't mean you're being irresponsible. It means when you put love into it, things seem to simplify, they go forward, they fall into place very quickly. And the same thing with jobs. If you're in a job that you can't stand and you notice that it's very difficult, you're in the wrong place. What you need to do is find what you really love to do, and you'll be surprised if all the avenues open up for you. Like you said, you took a leap of faith to go to California.
Mm-hmm. And not knowing anybody, and everything's kind of worked out the way it's supposed to, except with housing. Although I haven't had to pay any rent for housing yet, so I'm happy about that. But you know, I'm working. I have part-time hours, but you know, I just need to be stable, and I'm just trying to figure out if you could give me some advice besides my own advice, besides me trying to help myself. I was wondering if you could help a little bit with the reading. I've done a tarot spread, but you know, when you get frazzled, it's kind of hard to be objective when it comes to your own reading, and so that's why I'm calling. Yeah. You know.
Really, I never had any problem.
Huh?
And I'll just say with the situation it's kind of funny how I get readings from people, and then I come back to the situation and go, it was just a confirmation. In the process of confirmations, we just need to start listening to ourselves. And with the situation you're talking about, that's why I keep getting the idea of, like, I kept on getting this thing about you keeping your eyes open in the situation of helping other people, which will help you too as well, which I think you've done, but to take it to the next level. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, with what I'm doing, this what I'm here for is to help, and it's a really good cause. So I'm very open to like helping out in any way I can, because I'm a humanitarian at heart. So I do see that, but as far as keeping my eyes open, I can do that.
I'm just saying, I just have this thing with my friend who's moving to Myrtle Beach, and I feel like the reason she's moving to Myrtle Beach is to get away from her family, but also to put her in a position of utilizing her own skills and her own gifts, psychic readings and stuff like that. And she's just so dead bent on that we have to work our asses off and we always have to have a job. And if you look at her life, it's still not happy. So that thought and those things that she keeps focusing on are actually thoughts and ideals from the past that she needs to let go of in favor of what can happen. She got pretty belligerent too, and she was like, she told me flat out if I was thinking I could actually take care of myself and have my own business and that was going to put me in a position where I could take care of myself, I was going down a pipe dream. And I was just like, whoa, you need to sit back. I told her, I said, you need to sit back and you need to listen to yourself and quit telling people how to live their lives and just pass on the messages. But I also feel like she could also be the success that she's looking for and the money she's looking for to come into. People know one thing I've seen too, where people think psychic work and psychic businesses are in the same category as entertainment, where people, you know, you've heard of people with actors and actresses who worked at bartenders and worked at bars and dealers before they made it. And but if you look at those situations, there's no way to hone up on your skills realistically, in some sense of the word, but then again, you can. By being a very good dip bartender if you're not. So there's acting going on. I'm just saying, I've seen people who can go right into what they're supposed to do and make very well good living. And get back to the situation of I'm saying, it's, you definitely need to listen, because there's a lot of things going on around you where you look at the situation of your housing and that kind of stuff, where you get the impression like in a month and a half things are going to settle down and that kind of thing. But there's also going to be some opportunities for you to do what you love to do, which I'm not saying you're not, but there's like other things that are falling into place in the process of focusing too much on housing and that kind of stuff. There's some opportunities that are going to present themselves. It's just the idea of keeping your eyes open. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we talked about this before, like worrying about the outcome, just let it go and then just live your life and then it just happens versus slowing the universe down.
Yeah, because when I was sitting here talking with people before, I said, let's try doing this. We all talk about in the books. The books all say live in the now. And what that means is this moment, right this second, right what's going on, right this moment, is the only thing that's happening. So learn to live what is going on right this moment. And as you progress to go forward, with each step, you get closer to other opportunities. But see, you're paying attention because you're paying attention to every moment. And when you sit there and open up and you sit there and look at the situation and say, oh, there's an opportunity. I just need to walk a little bit closer to take advantage of that, and they all seem to fall into place. But learn to live the now, because people keep thinking that, I mean, planning and all that kind of stuff, realistically, if you sit here and look at the situation of anybody who's ever planned anything out, the plans usually realistically never really go the way they want to, but they all seem to work out where everything is the outcome of what they were looking for. It does happen. It just didn't happen the way they thought it was going to happen, the way it was going to unfold, but it did. The solution did happen. It just, you know, they said, well, maybe I should get out on Route 23 and make a left here and that kind of stuff, and then they end up going with the flow and realize it was actually a quick way to get there. But they still got there, and they still did what, exactly what they said they were going to do. It's just that when we try to dictate, and I guess some people want to call it manipulation, manipulate how that's going to happen, that's when we have the difficulties. When we should look at the situation and go, okay, this is just unfolding. Let's see what happens if I did just let go and just see what happens. And like you said before, live your life. In the process of living your life, you're not focusing on the lack of. You're focusing on what you're doing at that moment. So do it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yeah?
What do you want to do?
Well, what I want to do, well, is actually be stable. And what I want is to be in a situation where I am stable so that I can... Well, I know I have Saturn in my fourth house right now for the next year, so, I mean, it's going to be impossible to just be stable. But I need to, like, get the Saturnian influence off of me a bit because, you know, like, I'm at a host house right now, and basically he wants to be a bachelor again. So, you know, and I don't mind that. He's been gracious to me. But, you know, I don't have an option B like right now. If I sleep on it, I'm sure it'll come up, but it just hasn't. I can't think right now.
Okay. If you
and
could
so it's not something I can just let go. I have to, like, move, you know, think. You know, I have to think and move, bust and move.
Did you say something about sleeping with someone?
No, I said I should sleep on it and maybe it'll come to me, but I mean,
oh,
I haven't.
I want to make sure I heard what I heard first before I say anything. See, one thing I want to sit here and talk about too, I want to put it in perspective here, guys. I want to sit here and say one thing real clearly. Now, we have dominion over this planet, correct? Would you agree with that? Okay,
mm-hmm.
If that's the case, then this is a planet in the universe, but it's also one planet in the universe. Now, if we have dominion, do you think that we only have dominion over this planet, or do we have dominion over the elements, the planets, and everything else that goes along with it? So when we start focusing on astrology, I think astrology is a good place as a foundation to start with what we're looking at, but we can also overcome those things too as well. They might have a pull, but see, the situation is we have all kinds of pulls on this planet too. The moon, the currents, the energy, that kind of stuff, but we have a tendency to still make decisions to do what we want to do and how we want to happen. I think it's what we were talking about before about not really dictating how they're going to unfold, but still, we still have the control over the outcome because we put it out there. So that's what we want. So when we have the planet that said, I've had these things that said, this is not a good time to do this and this and this and this. But at the same time, I've also put out to the energy, if that's the case, then there must be an easier way to do. There must be an easier way. And then an easier way always presents itself to override those things, to get to combat the elements, okay? So I understand what you're saying, but I still feel like the idea of, you know, focusing on exactly what you want and the outcome that you want, you're looking for, because the housing and stuff, you're looking for things to be stable in your life. But see, they're not stable. So therefore, we need to sit here and go down to a simpler form and of asking ourselves, why is my outer life not stabilizing as quick as I want it to? More than likely, if we look within ourselves, we'll see that we still need to work on ourselves and stabilize a lot of things too in the process of making this move. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't sound so happy.
No. I guess not. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, it's like a theme I had when I was talking about relationships. The relationship that you have with yourself dictates the outcome of your life.
But see, the thing is, I've worked for years on my inner life, and I feel like
That's
I'm very abundant and prosperous in my inner life. And I've done tons of work in my inner life. And that's, I think that's probably what's puzzling to me. Like, you know, things should be flowing. I feel like everything is flowing. Actually, I really don't have anything to complain about.
Well, I understand what you're saying, sweetie, but you just made a major move. Huh? And there could still be some things about you not being comfortable with making that move. It's just, I tell people all the time, you can sit there and say, I worked on progression, I worked on this and this and this. But you're still here, so you're going to constantly keep working with it anyway. So it gets a progression in your spiritual life that you're still going to be, it's not going to be one day where nothing's going to be a challenge. If it is, then you'll probably be moving on. But I'm just saying, when I look at the situation, there's still some unsettling things going on in your outer world, which reflects your inner world. It's just something to sit down and look at yourself. It could be something very simple. You may, the idea of the fear that you just made this move, there still could be some resonance of that fear. So it just needs to be, it's just a thing you need to look at. But look there, but I always tell people everywhere, the first thing you need to do is you need to look in within yourself and see why is my outer world like it is? Because if we are the ones who dictate our lives and basically create that, then somewhere along the line we've created that chaos too. So we need to look within ourselves. And that's all I'm asking you to do. I feel like it's something very simple. And I don't feel like it's some kind of major thing that's going to take you, you know, months and years to really work with. I just feel like it's one of those things that just needs to be, realistically, the thing I think of the most is it's just something that in the process of even looking at it, it creates balance within you. So it's something very simple. But the success you're looking for, you definitely made the right choice in the right direction.
Yeah, I feel that, like, there's progress in that area. It's like a pull between that and, like, the home life. Is there any way that... Do you have your angel cards with you?
I'm sorry, sweetie, but I don't. But I still work with my angels. I just don't have the cards anymore. I'm trying to work with... You know, I guess I'm just trying to work exclusively with the angels themselves and everything around me.
Oh, I see.
But I have done readings with people where they ask me about that, and for some reason I do get images of cards that pop in my mind, so.
Mm.
You never know. I'm just saying with the situation, you know, we can't, that's one thing you have to look at too. We can't let those tools, because it's like a tuning fork. Tuning fork only works if the energy is working. So therefore, energy always continues, so we know it's always going to work. And we get to the point where we can hear the vibrations ourselves. I'm just saying, with the angel cards, I do have intentions of getting those cards again. I just happened to give them to somebody I really care a lot about. So
Now
I'm just waiting for things to go full circle so I get, you know, so things can fall in place. But I'm just saying, with the situation that you got going on, the one thing I would sit there and say is, I get the angel. I would sit there and say the angel. Archangel Hanel. I spell it H-A-N-I-A-L. Hanel? Because I keep getting the one thing about this is patience. Patience is very important. Patience with yourself, patience with the situation. But I still get the thing before, like I said before, where it's just the thing about letting go, letting go, letting go. Do you write a journal?
I haven't usually. I haven't lately, I mean. Well actually, yes, I take that back, I do, but not lately.
Okay. I'm just saying, you need, now you got me confused. Okay. If you do, do you? I'm just saying with the situation I get that too, you need to get really detailed in your journal exactly what you are. I call it releasement, letting go, and it seems like writing really works for you too as well.
But is this pertaining to housing? Like, do you know when I will be moving again?
Like I said before, I feel like the thing you're looking for is things to settle and to balance out. I keep getting a month and a half. Sometimes with the situations we're in, a month and a half can be a long time, but I just feel like it's one of those things that's going to move very quickly, and it's one of those things I keep seeing a picture where you're looking back. Was the place that you're living in, looking back at the things you've gone through to get there and realizing how fast they did unfold.
Oh, at the new location. I'll be looking back and seeing.
And it's almost like looking at the situation and going, for all the stuff that you've gone through, it was well worth the wait because of where you're going to be at.
Mm.
Seriously.
Mm. Okay. Well, that's nice to know. So, look.
I'm just saying, with the situation, you know, like we were talking about before, it's just one of those things. Look at yourself. You say you're still writing, meditation, still going over the whole thing. But see, the one thing you want is everything to be balanced. And I would focus more on balance than stabilized. Because balance is something that you can have continuously. Stabilizing things have a tendency to be stable for a while, but then they're not. So you're looking for something that's...
Now, but do you think I'll still be working where I'm working in that amount, in that time frame?
And you said you're working where now?
Well, I'm an assistant for... well, sort of in the industry, I would say, is in the music side, though, but I'm helping with that and other things, with humanitarian
okay.
efforts.
Mm-hmm. The thing I get the most is I feel like you're going to get, I just feel like you're going to be in a position of people wanting to utilize your talents. I'd say leaning more towards self-employment. I would say that you're still going to hang on to what you're doing. At the same time, you're going to be pursuing other things that are more what you really want to do.
Like singing or dancing or acting or writing.
Actually, I see all those things, like the acting, the writing, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just have some, they look like, to me, when I look at them, they're like steps of a stairway. One leads to another.
Mm.
I get the impression with the situation of housing and all this stuff, it just seems like we all have a tendency to fall into place at the same time. I feel like given that timeline, you're going to start really seeing some physical things, physical signs of that.
You mean I'm actually going to be losing weight?
Okay, sweetie. Yes.
What?
Yes, you'll be losing weight too as well.
Oh, okay. I was joking. I was like, oh, yay, I have a smaller waistline. My life's perfect. Oh, okay. Well, this sounds good. I really didn't want to spend all this time.
I'm having a hard time with the weight thing. I mean, you keep saying you want to lose weight, but then again, I'm not sure about the fluctuation and back and forth itself, too. Why is that?
Emotions. I'm a Cancer rising, and if I'm sad or happy, black or white or green, I eat. But now
okay.
I've cut back on eating, so I don't eat that much.
So you're directing the energy somewhere else, besides using food to medicate yourself, right?
Yeah, that's been for years, yeah. Small, big, small.
Well, I'm just saying, with utilizing the things, that the talents and stuff that you have, the more you utilize those things, the less desire you have to medicate those things because you feel more proud about yourself. But you should also look at the talents and stuff. That's why I'm always saying, that's why I always get the impression of writing all the time. Just keep writing and writing and writing. I mean, it's been said that for all the things that you say and all the meditations you do, if you do that for 1 or 2 hours, you should write for 3. So, you know, it's one of those things. I've seen writing, so the writing I've done, where some things have actually come true. Because it just gave me a more of a focus point. Or if I sit here and have a tendency to have a negative thought come in my head, I can always go back to those writings and recite them until those negative thoughts turn into positive ones.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I'm dead on the thing too, because I have a freaking bad habit of going to the store and going, okay, I don't feel good, so I need a couple Little Debbies, which turns into a lot of Little Debbies.
Yeah, that addiction is pathetic for me. It's not pathetic,
yeah,
I understand it. I'm conscious of it. It's just that I have to figure out, you know, how to maneuver that. But that's really good advice, what you just said. I have to consciously do it because I don't want to do fluctuating for the rest of my life. I don't want to look like my mother either. I want to look exactly the opposite.
Gotcha.
As a big woman.
Then what you do is you focus on the opposite and forget the other one does exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking at people going, you're kind of a mediocre writer. Okay, thank you, which means thank you for the motivation to see myself as a fantastic writer. Because again, realistically, when you get advice from other people in the first place and those kind of things, it's their perception of what they see. I mean, if you have a person who has a problem seeing their own selves in reality, they're not going to see you either. So, you know, we have to sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, I need to sit down. And I always tell people, work with your angels and guides on this one too, and God, and say, hey, you know, help me see me for who I really am. And people think, okay, I looked at the situation, I am a fat person. No, that's not what it means. It means ask God and the angels to see who you really are, which if you realistically are working with that kind of energy, you'll see yourself as a person in perfect health, which has nothing to do with these other parts. That's your perception. That's your human side going, this is the real world. Oh, smack that sucker and tell him go away. But it's not. I mean, I've seen all kinds of spirits and souls and those kind of things. And I mean, even in the sense of the word, if you sit there and saw some pictures of God, they're not, as most people see them, you know. They seem to be, they fit in a certain thing. So if it's in spirit that way, the human body, I guess you would sit there and say, focus on your spiritual part, right? Which will balance out the physical part, which is the body. You balance those two out, then you get what you want, and your body will stabilize. But it all has to do with your spiritual side as well. But we can't forget about the physical, and I think a lot of people do that. They get caught up in the emotions and stuff like that. It's because I've seen people deal with psychic abilities. I don't want to hear the voices, so therefore I'm going to drown them out either way I can. Usually it's alcohol or food. Or drugs, too. I'm just saying. But that's what they're doing. When they should realize that they're just talking to you, and most of those things they hear all those things they hear are positive. But they've got this perception that they've been taught or conditioned with throughout their whole lives. But this is reality. Because, I mean, the one thing that bugs me the most about a lot of people who say they're living the spiritual path is to have these problems. And then they're sitting there and say, I'm living the spiritual life. Well, that's great. But what are you also doing for your physical part? Well, it'll take care of itself. Well, you're putting all this attention to the spirituals. And, you know, most people say it'll take care of itself too, but you're still going to work and that kind of stuff, so therefore you need to do the same thing for the physical body as well. And sometimes it could be just like your perception. I've seen a lot of people who focus on a weight, focus on a condition, and once they believe that thought, their body has a tendency to balance out and be that without any kind of exercise or anything like that. It just does.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to that. It's the same thing with you and everybody else who's focusing on success and that kind of thing. Sometimes the chaos in our life could be simply that we're having this conflict within ourselves, that we could actually be scared of success. Not just scared of failing, but just scared of success. What's that going to entail? Because my life's going to get really busy then, and I'm going to sit there and do this. What if I fail to the point where I can't live up to what I tell everybody? Well, I tell everybody, if we all do that anyway, there are some clients that cross our paths that just go, I'm baffled. I can't, you know, every time I say something to her, she says I'm wrong. It's one of those things I was talking about before where we're telling you about listening to yourself. When you have those kind of things in your life, you just look at the situation and ask yourself what you feel. If you feel like you've done a great job, then you go with that whole feeling. We can't let people dictate exactly what we feel about ourselves when we know it's a contradiction. So with your situation, it's like stop thinking about, I need to lose weight, which is basically reaffirming that you have too much weight to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is you want to focus on the weight you want to be at. But you also got to see why you want to be at that weight. Because you feel like you'll be a whole lot healthier human being, even you know, healthy in every aspect of your life. So therefore, the simpler form of the whole thing is not the idea of losing weight. It's the idea to have a healthy, perfect body. That's what you should be really focusing on, not losing the weight. But the idea of losing weight is focusing on weight that's there. And indirectly, you're still focusing on and reaffirming that it does exist. What you want to do is take it to the point where it doesn't exist. Like with relationships and when you do manifestations, the quickest way to manifest something is to put yourself in a situation where you just don't care one way or the other if it happens or it doesn't, because you're so confident that it's going to happen and it's going to unfold what's in your best interest. There's no reason to worry about the whole thing. That's what I'm saying. Any kind of worry a lack of faith. Lack of faith has a tendency to put us in a situation where we have a tendency to do things that affect our physical body. But you can see how the balancing here is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do understand, right?
I do. It makes sense.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Wow, that was a ton of info. I really appreciate you, Guy. I can't wait to start having some cash. I can send you some. Help you get to Colorado.
Thank you. I appreciate that, too. I'd love to get back to Colorado as soon as possible. So, just put the situation. What would I want? What's my goal here of going back to Colorado? So I can lovingly give just exactly what I'm doing. So, if you, I don't know. It's one of the situations of being able to love more, but also feel comfortable in I want to go back. I don't know. I guess it's one of the things I got to think about, too. Let's just simplify it. And just the idea of being able to do exactly what I want to do and live where I want to live. I guess I would be a whole lot more happier, loving person, I think. Not saying I'm not. I'm just saying. I just feel like, in some sense, the word where I am now, I'd be a whole lot more of that. So it's the idea of also acknowledge that you're a great person and you just want to sit there and go, okay, where do great people live? I think they live in Colorado.
Okay. Well, I hope you get there. And, thank you very much for your conversation.
Oh, no problem. Please give us a call back. Give us an update. And I can tell everybody else, it's one of the situations, too. The numbers are there on my page that you can call me anytime you want. And sometimes the ideal of calling me and giving me an update on how your life and things have unfolded, some people like to do that, not on the air. So you're more than welcome to call and ask more questions.
Yeah, I did tell you that I wanted to confirm that, you know, I got here, you said I would probably be moving around June and probably be living in a North Hollywood area, and that's what I did. I actually went to Northern California, then I came to L.A., and to Koreatown, and then North Hollywood. But I spent most of my time in North Hollywood. So you were right on. Really appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. You're welcome. And it was a pleasure talking to you, too, as well. And please keep in touch, okay?
Will do. God bless you, honey.
Thank you. You have a good night.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to our next caller. I love to see how this spins around. We're going to do something else. Okay. I think it's going to be one of those crazy nights where we got to go through all kinds of craziness to get this thing going. Let's do this again. So just bear with me and we'll get to some more callers. Like I said before, with relationships, we have to look at the situation in hand, don't we? Don't we have to look at those things and say, okay, relationships. Relationships in general, we did this before when we were talking about the angels. And there's an angel of unconditional, of loving relationships. And in the process of going over that, it was one of the things we wanted to really emphasize on. It says, the angel of loving relationships. So relationships can be anything. We have a relationship with our boss. We have a relationship with our job. We have a relationship with ourselves. We have a relationship with our spouse. Relationships are very important because realistically they go through a whole freaking life. It's like getting back to the realization and realizing that all the decisions you've made, all the relationships that you know, all the relationships you've been into or decisions you made. So it goes back to you. So therefore, we have to realize that. So the relationship we have with ourselves makes perfect sense that we have to keep on top of that all the time, just like we would do if we were in a relationship with our spouse. We're constantly looking for solutions when problems arise. And we're also looking for more ways to open up and love our spouse as well. So we need to do the same thing with ourselves. So keep that in mind as well. I'm just going to area code 616, welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, I'm good. My name is Cecile, and I just called Friday, if you remember.
Yes.
Yes. I was calling you to update you. I just got information that the person we're talking about, they started a training in the Navy last week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I called on Friday, and then on Saturday I went to the Facebook, and someone mentioned that, and on Sunday, today, when I called twice, and the second time it didn't go through, but I got a call back, and that was the very close friend telling me that he had joined the training program last week, and that I should probably send him a message via Facebook. So I just did that, saying, "Hi, how are you doing? It's been a while."
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how it works, but from what I recall, when you start the training in the Navy, you don't communicate with the outside world as much. Probably later on, but when it is just, at the beginning, they don't have that much of contact. And I guess there's so much going on, too. So, yes, I mean, I didn't expect that. For some reason, he had mentioned that to me, but I thought that, if it turned out to be positive, because he was still thinking about joining the Navy, but I thought that, if things turned out to be the case where he was actually, going to go, then he would, let me know or something, but I never heard from him.
Did you never know from him?
No, not before he left.
Not before he left?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I get the most situation, communication they have. And I just feel like it's one of those things that everybody's been talking to you on the show and everything about letting go. It's one of those things that you've done what you can. And realistically, I was telling my friend before we came on the air, and I was just asking her, if you knew everything, if you had all the answers, would it really change what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying it was more of a knowing, so that it would help her to realize what she needs to do is to let go. And it's just sometimes we just don't have all the answers, and sometimes we don't get all the answers, but we do get those feelings that tell us that what we should do. And this, I'm just saying the thing here I get the most is just let it go. Now some people freak out and think, okay, just the idea of process of telling people to let go of it doesn't necessarily mean it's over. It's just the idea of detach yourself from it, because attaching yourself to it and worrying about it and thinking about it and going over it 50 million times about what you can do, what you can't do, and if there's something I should have done differently, or what are they doing? What are they feeling? Do they ever think about me? Do they love me? All these thoughts are sending out energy as well. And they could actually be, it's like looking at the thoughts themselves. If it's any kind of thought of worrying, which it is, does he love me? That's a worry. If he doesn't love you, it's almost like we kind of freak out. If the person stopped loving me, then there must be some kind of imperfection with me. And that's just not what it is. It's just the ideal of a person never stops loving anybody. It's just the ideal of saying they're putting their intentions and directions in a different way. And I see with this situation here, I'm just saying you need to let go of it and just let it play us out, because it's going to play out anyway. But the more energy you put out there, any kind of worrying thoughts really have a tendency to delay things. I've actually found that out myself with my own worries and stuff, which can drive you crazy when you know better. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what I'm saying. The only way you're going to get peace of mind here is to just say, it's like I have no control over the situation. The only thing I have control over is what my life is, and in the process of focusing on this so much, am I neglecting my own life? I don't know.
Mm. Yes. Yes, but for some reason, I don't know. I just feel so strong. Like, even sometimes when I, you know, try not to think about it, you know, like, maybe I'm in the process of doing something, and then the idea of him just, like, strikes me. Like, it just happens like that, and it's, like, all of a sudden. And I don't know. I was wondering if you also could clarify that for me, but I don't know. I feel like whenever I think about him, he also thinks about me. So I don't know if it's some kind of communication going on, or, I mean, unspoken, obviously.
Right. The thing I would get the most on that whole thing is that he doesn't think about you all the time. If he did that, he would have more accidents. And you know that one for a fact, that when you put yourself in a situation where you're trying to analyze and trying to, you know, see if someone, or just thinking about somebody, I almost broke my foot doing that by working out and pulled a 25-pound plate off and didn't realize there was still a 5-pound plate still on there, and it came off and smacked me in the foot. So, you know, I started thinking about the situation and say, okay, when we put that kind of worry in there, all we're doing is basically, you know, it's like chaos. We're actually doing harmful things to ourselves. And worrying itself can make people sick because it really puts a lot of toll on the body. And the reason it does, I feel like it is because it's a lack of faith. Until we put ourselves in a situation where we have this lack of faith all the time, we put ourselves in to be vulnerable to the human world, the materialistic world. So that's when accidents happen. Do you ever notice people who are very spiritual who focus and, you know, some people might think they're insensitive because they just don't let the world affect them. You know, people sit here and say, well, you see all this stuff that's going on overseas. And my response was, I don't live overseas. It doesn't affect me. I mean, it does affect those people, and in some sense, is the word, I wish I could help those people. But if I'm in a position where I can't, worrying about it is not going to change the situation, and it's not going to warrant the solution I'm looking for. But see, when I let go of it and understand and say, you know, you say, hey, what can I do in a loving way to take care of the situation? I was in a situation before where I like to give things, donations and that kind of stuff. I just didn't have any money to give any donations. Well, an opportunity came to donate blood. And I said, that to me is probably worth more than money because it's life. And that's why I looked at it. So I'm just saying there's other solutions that came to me, giving back. And if I wouldn't have opened myself up and said, okay, I can't help somebody because I don't have any money. What I'm doing is I'm basically using money as a freaking block to get the solution that I want to actually help those people. So worrying about it and going, oh, you know, putting all these emotions into it just create blocks, which is not good for me, and it's not warning the solution I'm looking for to help those people. So by me putting myself in a situation of being loving and caring and saying, okay, I understand, I can't do anything about it. But if there was something I could do about it, could you bring that to me now? And I let it go. And some people think I need to sit there and worry about it all the time. Why? It's not going to do them any good, not going to do me any good, and there's no solution. It's just a lot of worry going on. So the situation you're in of wanting a solution based on what you're looking for here, it's just the ideal. Just sit there and take care of you. Look at your life, see if there's anything you've neglected. Because in the process of finding these things that we've been doing and that kind of stuff, that's when we usually find the solution and even the answers we're looking for. So we don't have to directly have any kind of association with anybody or anyone to actually get answers or even closure. It's just the idea of realizing that, you know, we're looking for answers. And once we open ourselves up to those answers, no matter how they come to us, they will. But until we get past that worry part, they're just creating blocks. I did the same thing with going to Colorado, and I tell people all the time, you want to donate to the show and donate to Colorado Fund, please do so. And I used to put emphasis on it. If you do this for me, I'll give you a reading. When I should have been putting my face in what I do and what I've done, I've put it out there, and I give all the time, and, you know, never ask for anything in return. And So my angels and guides are sitting there looking at me going, you need to sit there and say, just put it out there. You know, people are naturally good. They want to help. They want these things, you know. And they like what they like, so they will definitely do what you got to do. But you have to have faith in that or it won't happen. So I just put it out there and say, hey, you know, here's, donate to the show. Donate to getting me home. Back to Colorado. And for every donation, thank you. Thank you is the strongest word there is in the world. You have, in your situation, you should be thanking yourself at the phone calls and the information that you found out. It gave you some kind of sense of peace of work, peace of mind. And there's more to come to it. So what I'm saying is you follow through with the guidance that you got. You continue to do so, and you're going to see a lot more solutions come to the situation of understanding why things are the way they are. The one thing you can sit there and worry about, look at the situation. Does he love me? Does he care about me? Does he do all these things? The point is right now is you guys are not together. And there's a reason why you're not together. And it could be because you're not looking at your own issues. You're not going inwards and understanding you and maybe loving yourself even more unconditionally. Or therefore, you would get that unconditional love that you're looking for too from him or whoever you're meant to be with. But open it up. Don't have tunnel vision of saying this is the only person for you. Because you're a caring, loving person, and anybody would want to be with you. But you have to also utilize those things and be that as well. I just feel like you're going to get a communication from him and the answers you're seeking. And everything's going to fall into place, just like it's supposed to, okay?
Okay. So, I mean, last time we talked with, thinking about, hearing from him, this upcoming week. So, I just want to have some kind of communication going. Then,
Like I said before, I get the impression you'll get it. Sometimes we should look at situations not so realistically, not materialistically, which means communication can come any kind of way. You need to open yourself up to the possibilities of any way it can happen. Because, sometimes you look at situations and go, well, he's there, he's doing this, and it kind of said, how could he ever communicate with me? And that's a good question. But all we're saying is open up to the possibility that it's going to happen. Because if you start putting too much logic into it and say, well, he's here, he's there, there's no way he can communicate with me, then you won't get communication because, you're definitely reaffirming, in some sense, the word of your fears, and you don't want those to manifest. So you're trying to change those thoughts of yours into more positive and just put it out there. He will communicate with you. Sometimes in situations, things change very quickly. I mean, I was sitting there when I was this summer trying to get a passport, and just like everywhere I wanted, it just wasn't falling into place. And then I finally got to this one place. So it's one of those progression things where you just keep moving forward, and just keep the faith in your mind, saying, I know I'm going to get to a place sooner or later where it's all going to fall into place. And sure enough, it did. I got to the place where I got my passport, and it actually was $200 cheaper than where I was going to go through in the first place. So it's like when you go with the flow, the solution really makes things a whole lot easier. No, I'm just feeling like that. Everything that you're the solutions, everything you're looking at, I don't feel like it's going to be more than a month, and you're going to have those things and those answers, and everything's going along with it. I know the biggest thing you want communication, but sometimes maybe we shouldn't be focusing on the communication. Maybe it's the idea of just, why do you want the communication? More likely, you're looking for answers. You're looking for confirmation. So it's the idea of working with your angels and saying, okay, I'd love to have confirmation or some kind of sense of the word or just hearing from somebody, just to hear someone's voice. Be totally honest with yourself. What are you looking for? What do you need a phone call for? What do you need conversation? What do you need that communication with them? And take it down to a simple form, because the more you simplify these things, the easier they are to manifest. We got some really colors on the line tonight. So, like I said before, the key word here is to let go, unfold, and then if you feel like you need to get more detailed, look at the situation and ask yourself, why do you want that communication? And if it's simply just saying to confirm if he does or he doesn't, just the idea of, does he love me or doesn't he love me? I'm looking for a confirmation of unconditional love, whatever it is. Focus on that. But also focus on giving you, giving yourself the same thing too as well. All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And you have a great night. And please keep in touch and let us know. If you want to get a reading with me, you know, like I said before, I tell everybody to look at the page, get the information. I'd love to work with you, whatever you got. To bring to the table, I can work with anything, okay? Just don't give me any chicken. Just don't give me no chicken. Okay. All right.
Take care.
You too. You have a fantastic night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That can really drive you crazy, I'm telling you. Technical difficulties can really drive you up the freaking walls. And my switchboard just driving me crazy anyway, because it actually tells me I have 3 hours and 22 seconds. No, 22 minutes and 21 seconds left in my show. Which it's only, you know, that's kind of crazy. I'm trying to figure out how to get some kind of legitimacy here. What we're actually looking at. So let's try this one more time. Like we were talking about before, we're trying to get across the ideal that letting go is the key word to manifestation. And if you're looking for something here, and then if it is a relationship, that sometimes with the situation, we can get what we want, but we have to really specify exactly what that means. What do we want in the process of looking at the situation of wanting a relationship back? I think what we want there is we want to be loved. In the process of being loved, we feel like we're wanted. I think we should look at the situation of just love and give. Give love. Just love. Love, 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 love. I love everyone. I try to love everyone. And people have a tendency to get baffled with me when I sit here and talk to people and say someone's done me wrong, I can still have a conversation with them 10 minutes later. I just don't feel like the idea of carrying grudges. Carrying grudges is just so much energy that's wasted. Area code 860. You are on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
How can I help you?
I think, yeah, it does have a lot to do with relationships. I'm just looking to a new one right now. But, I haven't really, well, maybe did, but not really. But I just looking to dating as of right now. So, Yeah, I mean, I've been talking to some people online, but I haven't met them, so I don't know.
So, what's your question?
My question is actually, you know what though? I want something about who this person I would be meeting.
You want to know about a person you're going to meet? You're going to be meeting. I guess we're talking about a significant other here.
Hmm.
Are we talking about a significant other here? What I'm saying is the idea of trying to understand and say, okay, you asked the question. I want to know more about this person I'm going to be meeting. Now, I'm just trying to clarify the whole thing. If it's a person you're going to be meeting, as in you're going to be meeting someone here real soon, or is it something as you're asking a question in the process of meeting the person you're supposed to be with, what are they going to be like? Okay. This is crazy. Hold on for 1 second. Okay, we've got, I don't know, having some difficulties here. Let me go on to another caller here. Hold on. Okay, area code 520. Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Chris, and I got to tell you that I don't know if I was guided to listen to your show, but you've almost had me in tears because it seems like you're speaking to me directly, because that's why I was calling to begin with the relationship and about what love is and letting go and everything you have said thus far, and then I can so relate to it. It's like, oh my gosh, like, I am just like wanting to cry, and like, so I wanted to thank you for that, because I don't even think, you know, sometimes we get messages without even knowing that we're getting them. And,
yeah.
You know, I had spoken to you some time ago, and the big message from you for me was to let it go, and that it will fall the way it's supposed to fall, and that I needed to really search deep and see where I, what I really felt about this guy in my life, and because we had broken up, and I was really devastated. And I, my anger kept me from really seeing the whole picture. But needless to say, I did take your advice, and I let it be. I got a second job, and I focused on me and my son, and I got my life back together. And lo and behold, he did come back to seek me out. And it was a conversation that I never thought we would be able to have. And we did, and I don't question what I questioned before, but I guess my question to you today is, after this, you know, this meeting and us being really honest with each other and not holding back, where will it lead? I mean, there is another individual in his life that he realizes he now needs to figure it all out. He knows where what he feels, at least that's what it took, but does he have the strength to follow his heart, or is he going to stay where he's at? So I guess if you could just give me some clarity as to if he felt as emotional and got the answers he needed as well, and what you see down the road.
Well, the one thing I see the most here is the idea of repeating what I do. It's like with your friend here, he needs to do the same thing I'm doing right now, which comes to me very strongly of just saying you love and respect him for who he is, and that you just want to continue to love more every day yourself. And the reason I feel like that's the strongest thing here is because it's what you're looking for. Okay? The idea of the guy coming to the point of making a decision to follow his heart instead of following something he thinks that is good for everybody else. I feel like if you really focus on the love in that prayer itself, then I feel like he will have the strength, and he will do and follow his heart to where he wants to go. And you have to look at the situation of doing the same thing yourself. So I'm not saying you're not.
You're right. I'm struggling with it because everybody tells me I'll be settling if I go back with him. But you talk about so deeply today, what is a relationship? What is love? And it's not all the positives, it's not all the love hurts no matter what, and I guess that's why the message reached so deep for me today with you, because I realize it's unconditional and you need to love them and take it all the good along with all the bad, and people don't want to deal with the bad, they just want to go with what's the good. And
exactly.
You're right, I'm struggling with if I go back, what is everybody going to say, and am I settling? And that's what keeps me back. And when you're explaining, I must be manifesting. That's why he's not coming back. He keeps going back and forth because I'm manifesting that.
Yeah, because I mean, I've been in situations too where people looking at you going, "You're a controlling person." Well, maybe in some ways we need to look at those situations or things being said and say, "Okay, let's take a look at it. See if I am or not." It wouldn't hurt to take a look at it. Maybe you'll find out. Maybe you're not. Maybe it's a person's perception, but at the same time, taking a look at those issues, and because it came out, it was said, and so for some reason, we always say everything happens for a reason, so we need to take a look at those things. And it could, you know, like I said, just by looking at those little things that were said could make us even, you know, more loving people. And if we're going to sit here and focus on being more loving, then more likely those things are going to continue to come up to deal with. So therefore, you can get to that point of being an unconditionally loving person. And I think there's a lot of work to be done here. But the idea of two people coming back together, it seems like they're learning a lot of things. But to me, I keep seeing this full circle of definitely coming back together. But I also stress to everybody else, if somewhere along the line that you stop working on those things and hesitate or ponder or whatever, things could change. And he seems to be a person that seems to have a stubborn streak. So, you know, we don't want to sit there and do anything to bring that out. So the ideal of being unconditionally loving, you know, I guess I've always said this before, people do have bad traits. You take the bad traits away from those people, then you only have half a person. So it definitely makes a difference of who they are by everything that is them, bad or good. So, you know, it's a situation. I always tell people, go watch Star Trek. There's a Star Trek episode where Captain Kirk gets split in half. And basically what it does is it shows you that the good and the evil cannot live without each other. They balance each other out, or polarity, you know, bad, negative energy or positive energy, whichever one you want to look at it. And if they don't have both to balance each other out, one dies or the other one dies. Or they both die because they need that. It's the same thing of taking, by getting that kind of balance within yourself, then you know how to proceed when you get into a relationship and realizing that you need to accept each other. You need to accept that you guys are brought together to balance each other out. We've heard the word complement each other, or we're great partners. In order to get those titles and be accurate about the whole thing is to realize that how those good partnerships work is to realize that a certain person does have certain traits that you might not like, but it is who they are, and it's who you love. In the process of loving them unconditionally, more likely you've learned to love yourself, too, and realize that you have some traits that you're not too happy with either. But you can't really do anything about those things until you learn how to love yourself and realize that those traits can also be nothing but something that you haven't worked with and turn them into positive.
Very true. Yeah, and that's kind of where I went. We were apart for a year and a half, and I never thought that we'd even talk again. And I thought he totally just forgot about me. So it was just like you were telling the previous caller, she's focusing so much, does he love me? And I think that letting go and figuring it out, the answers come. So I so understood, because I was that person that she was a year ago. It's amazing how it, you know, rotates the, you know, the life. But I guess so now I'm at the point, do I just continue to be honest with him and let him know that the door is open, or will he realize it on his own, or is it just going to take more time, or what guidance can you give me on that? I mean, I know that he needs to go and think about it, and he has to think about the other person as well, but I just was wondering regarding him and I, where does it stand at this point?
Right.
Do you?
I'm just saying, continue to do what you're doing, and just, you know, like I said before, but also take it step by step. And make sure that you are seeing. I think it's one of those things, to look at the situation going, okay, you are seeing it for what it is, and just proceed to go through and be honest with yourself exactly what you need to do about that. You're having troubles with yourself and accepting things and that kind of stuff. So just work on those things until you do accept them.
Okay. Don't question it.
Right. Don't question it. Just follow through with the whole thing. But you got to understand one thing with the situation, like I said before. The idea of knowing everything and hoping he will do the right thing, he will do what he, you know, it will always unfold in the best interest of what he thinks he should do. So you have no control over that at all. But the one thing you do have is control over yourself, of being an unconditionally loving person. And I've noticed this myself, that when I sit here and recite, I respect and love, and then also ask to be more of a loving person every day too. Just by doing that, I always encourage people to do it, because the feeling you get, it's one of those things where you know you're going in the right direction. And the ideal, what it is the ideal that nothing realistically really good gets manifested without love. We were sitting here talking before about relationships too, and I was sitting here going, I'm tired of hearing people in the midst of the thing going, I'm not in love with this person, but I love this person. And I was like, okay. So before you come to the sessions, you should sit here and get your research on who I am and realize I'm very blunt, and that you are full of it. And they're like, what do you mean? Either be in the relationship or not, but don't start questioning the love. Because what happens is the love can't be questioned. Love is love. But what is questioning is how much you want to be a part of that relationship or how much you want to be with that person. And a lot of times...
Wow, that's like great. I never saw it that way. Sorry.
Yeah. No, so you sort of look at the situation and say, okay, I'm not in love with you. Yes, you are in love with that person. It's just that you're trying to make a choice if you want to be in the relationship or not. I always believe that we love everybody we've ever been with. It's just that it's come to a realization it doesn't work, or something that someone wasn't willing to accept. But the love has always been there. Love is energy. Energy doesn't die. Okay? And the process of loving somebody, we all sit here and say, well, I'm deeper and deeper and more in love with you, or I feel more and more and more for you. What that means is, in the process of getting to know somebody, we're letting down the walls. We're also dealing with issues that were creating blocks. So in the process of doing that and being with this person, we're getting rid of blocks, we're letting down the walls, we're opening up more, so therefore the love that we've always had to give comes out more, and vice versa for the same person. So then we have this intense relationship. The spark is basically getting things going. But like I said anything else before, a spark is how a fire starts. But it starts out with it's a spark, it's a flame, and then it's a fire. But we also know that when, like with relationships, you have to give unconditionally to that relationship. And the same thing with the fire. If we would look at life as a fire, we unconditionally, if we're sitting in front of a fire, when it starts cooling down, what do? We throw some more fire. We throw more wood into it. We want that flame back where it was. So in the process of looking at blocks or pieces of wood, look at those as things that were contributing to the relationship. And I always tell people, you know, don't be scared to look at someone's life and say, well, how can I make that person's life easier? Because if it's a real good relationship and if it's what it's supposed to be, the person on the other end is thinking the same thing, and they're going to look at that whole thing. So, but with the situation you're in, you need to open it up to where it's going to unfold, the way it's supposed to unfold. The one thing I was saying to people, if you're working on manifestation, throw a twist on it, okay? Sit there and focus, picture, visualize, smell the senses, feel it, okay? And then say to yourself, this or something better is now manifesting to me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. So what you're doing is you're saying, this is what I want, but if the universe has something better for me, I'm also open to that too as well. But I'm also wishing for everyone to get what's in their best interest. And just let it go. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, because you answered a question for me, not even me asking, because there was something you said. You said, I'm happy where I'm at. However, I keep coming back to missing you and wondering about you and wondering where we went wrong. And it was so, you just answered my question. I kept pondering about what that question, like, what does he mean by that? So he's basically questioning, does he want to come back or does he want to just stay where he's at?
Right.
And it couldn't make sense out of it. It's not that he's so happy, it's just he's not sure that he wants to venture over here.
That's But also take it one step further, okay? Look at yourself and say, okay, there's certain realizations that have already happened. But look at the conversations. They're already done. They've already happened. And what he was thinking or what he was wanting to do or whatever was going on in that situation. Take yourself away from that and realize everything that happened from this point backwards is gone. It's done. Over. Can't be changed. Can't be nothing. What you want to do is you want to focus on the future. And look at the situation of saying, okay, what is the one thing that you would like to hear from him or in the process of even a friendship or whatever it is that has to do with that? What's the common denominator? What do you want? And I think you come to that, like the most of us, the conclusion is unconditional love. You just want him to say to you that he loves you and he likes you and some kind of confirmation that you're okay. And it's just like, in some sense of the word, you're looking for some kind of way of saying, what did I do wrong? And realistically, when we look at these situations, nobody's done anything wrong. Everybody's made decisions according to what happened, what was going on, what they were confronted with, and they made decisions to do so. Because realistically, if it could have been done differently, you would have, but you didn't. It all unfolded just the way it did. And we got this moment right now. You need to also understand that when you're not in the midst of the situation, okay, and you don't have to think about it 24/7, right this moment, you should be giving yourself rest and letting it go and say, okay, this moment, I can't do nothing about it. This moment, he's not here. Nothing's going on. But what is going on at this moment that I need to sit there and embrace and cherish at this moment? It could be just this moment. When you do those things and you appreciate those things, that's like a small gratitude, a small thing you're grateful for, which has a tendency to stem to bigger things. And the idea of this gratitude you're looking for, because it's like you're looking for a way to let go. The easiest way I found to let go is to be thankful for what you already have. In the process of thinking and focusing and saying, I'm thankful for all the things I have, you can't think about the things you don't have. But in the process of going through each one of those things, your gratitude is taking you one step closer to what you do want. Indirectly.
Wow.
You're not thinking about it.
I thank you so much. You have really helped me immensely. Thank you. I understand exactly what you're telling me, and I do thank you. So,
okay.
Thank you for taking my call and really helping me with the situation from get go.
Oh, no problem. And,
thank you. Have a good night, and I'll continue listening and supporting your show. So,
no problem.
I may even just call for a deeper reading. Since there's just another one out on the radio.
I was just saying, if you get a chance and you want to take advantage of getting a private reading, do so. Like I've been telling everybody, you know,
okay,
whatever you got, bring it to the table. Just don't bring no chicken, okay?
Well, thank you so much. Well, you have a good night.
You too. Thank you. And please keep in touch and keep us informed what's going on with you, because we'd love to hear about it, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All righty. Thank you. I don't want to tell everybody out there we're having, you know, I don't know what, I wasn't really sure how much time we had in the show or whatever, but I do see what's going on here and that kind of thing, and we're winding down here, and I want to thank everybody for being here, but I also want everybody to hang on the line, because I'm going to try to get to each and every one of you, because I'm going to see how long we can actually stay on after the show is over. So hang in there. Thank you very much, and I just want to thank everybody for being here, and plus, with the situations, we are looking for donations to get me home, and thank you. If you want to donate to the show, just go to www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And, you know, all, like I said before, all donations, thank you. I really appreciate everything and anything, okay? So keep them coming. Let's go on to another caller. It's really, also, if you want to give me a call on a private session, just call me at 740-601-1057 or 740-500-8863. So just give us a call. We'll see what's up with the whole thing. We're going to try to deal with this glitch and everything in here. It's driving me freaking nuts. Technical difficulties. We're trying not to let the thing bother us. We're just going to keep going and get to each one of you guys. To all the callers and stuff. Sometimes that countdown drives me crazy. I feel like I work for NASA. But one thing, if you could work on one thing in life right now, That's just the ideal of this moment is the only moment it exists. The past and the future do not exist at this moment. And if we could learn to do that and appreciate it, we would get ourselves in a... I just think everything would happen so quickly and fall into place for us. You know, sometimes in the process of questioning things too much, sometimes they can get a little too extreme. Let's see. Let's go on to... Area code 563. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hi, Karen.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
Fine.
You called in before?
Yes. Months and months ago.
Okay, because I haven't been on months and months ago. But
How can we
help you, Karen? Because I took a little exit out and took a break from June until this last Friday when we did our first show again. I have to thank everybody who called in and everybody who was listening because we had over 98 people listening in, and we want to increase that audience and get to more people. So what is the one thing we can help you with tonight?
I'm going to take my husband my ex-husband back to court because he lied. Do you see an outcome good for me?
Yes, I do. That's one thing I that was quick. I just feel like it's one of those things that needs to be done. He needs to understand that the consequences of his actions is going to be playing out pretty quickly here, and I just feel like everything's going to be going your way.
Good. It's about time.
I'm just saying, I want you to focus on not what has happened, not what he's done. I want you to focus on the outcome and what you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that I've been doing. Yeah, hanging him from a tree. We should forget that thought, too. But I'll just say as like an example of some things we don't want to think about. I'm not saying we're going to do those things, but, you know, in the process, I found that when we look at people that we want compensation from or just to do the right thing, it's for us to do the right thing, too. They'll be who we are, loving, caring people. We don't want to fall down to their category. We want to be where we are. We want to set an example for everybody and say, loving, caring people do get what's coming to them as much as people who don't. It's just in different ways of compensation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We get what we want in a positive way, and they get what they want in a negative way. So it's just the idea of doing that. As long as we maintain who we are, what we're doing, it's a whole lot easier, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So like I said before, I feel like this is definitely going to fall in your way. And I just feel like the more you focus and let it go, but detach yourself from it, but give it about 5 minutes a day to focus on what you want to happen. And I just feel like it's going to happen that way. Alrighty?
Alright. I talked to you months and months ago, and you told me that my son was ill. Could that have been one of my great nephews? He killed himself, I think.
Well, it was something self-inflicted.
Pardon?
The illness I was getting was something of infliction. Someone doing something to oneself. So it could have been a suicide, you know.
Okay, because, you know, sometimes that happens to me where it isn't me or my son, but it's, you know, because I'm so into my family, there's like over 100 of them, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, and I only have one child.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they, you know, I help them out all the time, which I can, you know what I mean. Not with money, but lending them things and doing babysitting and different things like that. Yeah, and I helped him. The one that Polly, I helped him get to know his dad because they were estranged. And I'm glad I did before this happened.
Yeah, sometimes it's perception too, like the way they look at you. And he could have looked at you as a mother because of things you did for him. So that's what it came off.
Mm-hmm.
It happened a couple of times where it's like, okay, I had a lady, well, it was actually a guy who was sitting there, picked up one,
a lady he used to call grandma used to chase him out of a newspaper. And he was like, okay. I don't remember a grandmother chasing me around the newspaper, but I do remember a lady, he said he remembered this lady that they lived in California, that used to chase him around and smack him with a newspaper that he called grandma. So
okay.
It wasn't his grandmother, but that's the way it came off to me because that's the way he looked at her. So it wasn't a physical, external thing. It was just the way he looked at her. And it was kind of crazy because when I first picked it up, I saw this lady smacking him with a newspaper and she had these god-awful looking tennis shoes. They're like black Nikes, high tops, really nasty looking shoes. And he was, and that's the way it came to me. And I'm like, I tell people when you do readings and stuff, sometimes you pick up things that don't make no sense to you. That's why we ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I see this, and I see this woman. She's got these wild Nikes and nasty looking tennis shoes. It didn't come to me at first, but then it's one of those things. It resonated with the person. It came out pretty quickly. So, and then we figured it out because I thought I was going crazy for a minute until he told me, "Oh, I knew who that is now. It wasn't his grandmother. It was someone he called grandma." So with the situation you're talking about, I did see something about self-infliction, but I've also seen people do things to themselves to make themselves ill. So I do mean self-inflicted too. But if you're talking about a person who could have been a combination of everything, and on top of that, could be the reason why he killed himself. So
yeah, it was a couple months after that it happened, and your voice came like, you know, into my head what you said, and I thought, oh, I think that's what it was. Because you said it this way, he's sick. You know, it was the way you were saying it.
Yeah, I'm probably more likely the guy who killed, you know, in the process of killing someone, killing yourself. It's sometimes you come off as a mental illness or something about the whole thing of someone not feeling quite right. And then they do things like that. So have the combination of both of them. Sometimes it can be kind of confusing. But I think, you know, since you heard my voice with the whole situation, I think it's what it resonated with.
Mm-hmm.
That was the clarification. So.
Well, I pick up things, too, so I understand, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you, and God bless you.
Oh, you're welcome. You always call back anytime, and it was nice talking to you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's do this again. Refresh. The refreshing thing is grabbing me at the wall. Get on. Okay, here we go. And like I said before, I do private readings too as well. So give me a call at 740-601-1057. Again, that number is 740-601-1057. Or also contact me on my other line, which is 740-500-8863. Again, that number is 740-500-8863. Or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And like I said before, we are asking for donations for my trip back to Colorado so we can actually do more for the show and do more for the business, that kind of stuff. And also donations for the show so we can keep going like this, bring more to you. We want to bring some guests and that kind of stuff, which we will still anyway. But for, like I said, for each donation that comes through, we thank you and appreciate everything we can give. And I hope that you've all taken anything about relationships. If you have any more questions about relationships, I'd be glad to answer those for you. So bring them on. And let's see what we can do, okay? All right, let's go on to our next caller. That is 718 area code. Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Lisa. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing good, Lisa. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
New York? Scary place. Of course, that's perception, and my perception, I've been there before. I was in the bus station for about 10 minutes, in downtown New York.
It's a wonderful place.
Well, when you see a lady with a walker yelling all kinds of insane, you know, and
well, that
all
be
the
anywhere.
That's true too, but she was like down on 42nd Street, just going crazy. it was my first time in New York, so you can, you know, the perception here.
Yes.
Holy mackerel! I was like, I gotta go. I was kind of like in a vulnerable situation too, because my leg was in a brace, and I was on crutches, and the bus station was on an angle, so I had all these things going on, which I think it was just a reflection of imbalances in my life at the time, anyway. But you usually don't know those things until you get past them. It was pretty cool. So Lisa,
okay.
Have you called before?
Yes, I have. I called you a few months ago, and you've always been very helpful. I appreciate that.
No problem. And how can we help you tonight?
It's a question about someone that I was seeing a few months ago, and it's been on my mind heavily. I actually pulled myself, I guess, out of the relationship, situation, because we weren't committed. So I'll say that. And basically, I just kind of want to see if you could pick up on his end why, I guess, you know, we're not communicating. I mean, I know why on my end we're not communicating, but what do you see kind of happened overall? If you could pick up any of that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, in the process, you say you know why on your side you're not communicating.
Why? I know why I make my own decisions. I'm not confused about why I decide things. But I was just curious to see what happened on his end. I mean, there's no bad blood between us. We always got along really well. But I just kind of, you know, I was discussing it with a close friend today, actually a relative. And like I said, he's been on my mind for the past 2 weeks. And, you know, so I'm just curious to see what, I mean, I'm not looking to pursue the person again. I guess it's been weighing on my mind, you know, so I'm just curious what you pick up.
Well, the thing I get the most here is the idea that maybe you're not willing to pursue this and be in a relationship with him again. But I do get the impression that he's been thinking about you quite a bit too as well. But I do feel like it's one of the what if. It's like the what if in the relationship area. Questioning a lot of things back and forth. I also get the impression he's pretty busy too.
Yeah, I think he started a master's program.
So it's like, look at the situation, a combination of a lot of things. So, like you said, you talk about ill blood and that kind of stuff, and I feel like you're, you know, when you sit here and say that, I don't feel like there's anything like that between the two of you. I would agree.
Yeah.
But you've been thinking about him a lot, and for some reason I keep getting the impression of you being waking up.
Me being waking up?
Yeah.
In what way?
That's just the idea, looking at the situation and being, I'm actually talking about physical sleep, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's, yes, that happened. That is very true. That has happened. Like,
waking up unexpectedly going, okay, what's that all about?
Yeah, very true. Yeah,
so you look at the situation of a person who is thinking about you. But, you know, I get the impression, like I said before, it's very pleasant. The things about you, thinks about you and that kind of thing. And I just feel like it's one of those things where that's it, you know. There's not much more to it I can say, but I just feel like he's busy, he's working. I do feel like there's sometimes he's thinking about the possibilities of the future, and he's like looking at something where you see a dream being presented to him, like, I don't know how he put this, I don't want to say presented, but just dreams that he has that do have a tendency to dictate being together in a couple.
With me.
With you, because there's some things about the whole thing that he doesn't. There's certain things about him that about you that just irk him.
About me?
Yeah. But when he thinks about me in a relationship, for some reason he goes back to the things that you've had before.
I'm sorry, things I've had before, you said?
Well, like things you've had. Look at all the positive things that happened between you two in the course of a relationship, even a friendship.
Yeah, exactly. I'm laughing because you said things about me irk him, and I'm laughing because I'm like, why? Because I don't do everything you say.
Well, see, that's it. And it's one of those things of trying to sit down with even men and women, and say, okay.
But what did you pick up? What is it about me? Because I'm very much me, and he's very much him. Like, we don't try to change each other.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. But it doesn't mean under the surface he wishes that certain things that you, you know, drive nuts. Because it's one of those things, it's like I said before, there's still a certain amount of acceptance and say, okay, she is who she is and he is who he is. I get the impression you accept him more for him than he accepts you for who you are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you pick up what it is? Because it's interesting you said accept me, and it's like, I'll tell you why after, because I want to see what you, I guess, pick up. What is it, anything you pick up that irks him about me, what do you pick up generally?
One thing I pick up the most is the idea of compliments. You don't take compliments well.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. I'm laughing because
so it's like looking at you and making compliments, you getting irritated about the whole thing, and he's like, well, you know, okay, fine. You just don't get it. I'm trying to portray to you that, you know, those things about you I like about you, and it just seems like it's kind of an irking back and forth where it's like, he doesn't realize that you are who you are, and the reason you say those things and do the same doesn't mean you don't appreciate the compliments. It's just the idea of taking compliments is about an easy thing to do.
It's
you're still
so funny.
Finding out things about yourself.
He told me that he's the one that doesn't take compliments, so whenever I give him a compliment, he gets upset. And I'm like, what's, he goes, oh, I'm not used to taking compliments. So
mm-hmm.
I said, well, you need to get used to that because it's a positive thing. Don't shut down compliments. So when you said that, I'm like, are you sure you're talking about me? Or are you talking about him?
Well, sometimes we look at the situation and we're so caught up in what we're focusing on seeing and our perceptions that we don't take notice of what some of the things we do ourselves where we look at the thing going, well, what if I do that? And it could be simply, it doesn't have to be something that's a constant. It could be something that, in the process of getting a compliment, you just don't believe it.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I just don't feel it ever been that way. I take the compliments. I say thank you. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. Like, but, you know, I guess it's funny because you said he accepts me less, and I find that interesting because I agree with you. Because I feel like, he does. I don't know. I feel like I've gotten to know him more than he's gotten to know me.
Oh, yeah. It's just one of those things. Like I said before, acceptance. There's some things that...
Do you see us ever seeing each other again?
I actually get no.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, the way it comes to me is like there's communication, but the idea of actually seeing each other, that's a different thing.
Oh, do you pick up that I would hear from him again? Because I know I'm not doing the pursuing.
No, that's what I'm saying. I get the impression of communication, but I don't see you guys seeing each other physically face-to-face anymore. Like two people going in two different directions.
Yeah. It's like you said, the love is not to be questioned, but it's really the decision to stay or to go, to be in the relationship
mm-hmm.
or not. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like he's got, you know, we both are going in different directions. We could go in the same direction, but I'm not going to compromise my ambitions and he's not going to compromise
mm-hmm.
his. And, you know, it's just, I don't know.
That's
just,
funny. It's also trying to find a different category. Instead of saying compromise, it's the idea of trying to find a solution.
But, yeah, I feel like I was always more, I'm willing to see things a certain way, and I just feel like, like you said, the acceptance, and there's not enough acceptance there, so that will get to a person after a while. I mean, because I know that I'm not going to see him ever again, do you pick up when I would be with someone in a committed relationship?
I get the impression, not really a date or something, but the one thing I pick up the most is the ideal very soon.
Okay. I wish I knew what that meant.
Well, sometimes I do too, but most of the times when I get really soon, I mean, it's like it can happen anytime. So there's, I would say one thing about the situation between you and him, and just everything that's been unfolded lately, is pointing you in the direction of the person you're supposed to be with.
Exactly, I agree with you. Do you pick up anything? I guess we can't get a win, and that's fine. Do you pick up anything about the person that you, I guess, see me meeting very soon or dating very soon
Yeah, I get the impression you don't need to know anything.
That I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need to know anything, but it, okay. What I keep picking up is what it's when you. I've done this a couple of times with people, and they just don't understand it.
So I'll meet him when I'm supposed to, and I don't need to know anything.
Right. And the more information you
trust
know,
that,
the more information you know could actually hinder you from actually finding her. The things to fall into place naturally. It's like relationships happen spontaneously, and the more we know, they don't.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that, because I met this gentleman, the one that I used to date. I met him so out of the blue. I mean, I went to a place where I didn't expect to meet anyone, and whenever I go to this place, I never meet anyone. So I just went there just for myself, to enjoy myself, and I met someone, and I met that person that I dated for, like, 4 months.
Oh, yeah.
So then you go there and just,
I guess it's the hardest part about, too, when we separate from people, too, that in order for those things to unfold naturally, we have to let them go. Because
exactly. That's why I know that I can't pursue it, because I know it's going against everything that it is that I want. So I'm like, I have to let that go. It's easier to let go physically than it is emotionally.
Well, that's what I'm saying to everybody out there, too. Think about that. I was saying this earlier in the show. You know, here we are trying to attract the right person into our lives at the same time we're pursuing it. So, therefore, that's a contradiction. You can't do both.
Yeah.
If you are doing both, sooner or later you're going to run into yourself.
That's funny. That's very true.
We need to understand that, you know, we're looking to attract. And even in the Bible it says when you stand still, you can attract everything to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I was sitting telling my mom this. Like, it's kind of funny when you read the Bible, it talks about the power of life and death is in the tongue. And you're sitting there going, basically, if you look at the way some of the writings and some of the books out there, it says what you speak and what you think brings about your reality. So therefore, it's something that's been spoken for thousands of years. If we would just sit there and look at the situation, like I said before, and just look at the ideal of what's happening in this moment, and realize if you're not with a person this moment, then you shouldn't be really thinking about them. But you don't have to. It's the idea of focusing on your own life and what you're really wanting someone to do to come into your life, to love you unconditionally, and you're looking for someone to share your life with.
If
you're not living your life, you have nothing to share.
Exactly. I completely agree with that. It's so funny what you just said. That I was just talking to a relative of mine today about that type of stuff. Like, I was like, you have to focus on your own life, or else, like, you know, who are you? If you don't create a life for yourself, you solely, how are you going to be able to share that life with anyone else? You can't share, you know.
It's about loving, too. If you don't love yourself, then what do you have to give?
Yep. And that
you got to love yourself in order to get the same kind of loving. I was going to try to talk about that in the Bible, too, where it says, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love yourself as you love your neighbor. And everybody said, well, it doesn't quite say it that way. Okay, what's it saying? It's saying love. It's saying basically unconditionally love everyone, and therefore everything will fall into place. And I said, well, let's simplify the whole thing. Look at the Ten Commandments. Realistically, do we need to know what the Ten Commandments are? I don't think so. If we sit there and go by the first commandment that God, that Jesus said was the greatest commandment in the world, is to love. Just love everybody. Love yourself, love everybody. If you do that, you can't go wrong. And I was thinking about the Ten Commandments. If you love unconditionally and love everyone, then you wouldn't, the things in the Ten Commandments, you wouldn't commit adultery, you wouldn't steal, because you love these people and you would never do those things to them. So if we sit there and look at relationships, and just no matter what happens in the midst of a relationship, if we just unconditionally just continue to unconditionally love them people, if you're meant to get back together, you'll get back quicker. If you're not, then you sit and look at the situation and go, I love this person so much, and I love myself so much that I guess if we're not meant to be together, then I'll still be with somebody else, and so are they. So therefore, I love you, you go find who you're supposed to be with, and I'll go, more likely, I will be with the person I'm supposed to be with. And we won't have to do nothing but love each other and continue to move forward. So that's what I was sitting there saying with the love thing. People are sitting there saying love is overrated, and I'm like, no, not. It's the ideal that you're sitting there trying to justify it by human beings and still looking through a spiritual self. Because I sit there and look at the Bible, and people try to interpret it in a materialistic way, and it's hard for them to interpret. But once you look at it as a spiritual context, realistically, it makes sense. You know, it's like even the situations like God and all the situations in the Bible themselves and the stories we hear, those things that are unfolding is somebody who's like a father who's trying to not control you, but protect you. And it might come off as a controlling way, but if you really look past that point, you're going to see an entity that's actually saying, if you don't do these things, it doesn't add any more chaos to your life. They were sort of talking about, for example, real simple, a simple thing of saying, if you in the process of committing adultery, it's just not yet a deal being with someone else's wife. There's a lot of chaos in that whole situation when people find out the truth. So to avoid it, those things don't happen. I was telling someone, I said, think about the simple one here. You know, no sex before marriage. If you really look at that realistically, it's not a control, it's a protection. It's protecting you from all the things. In the process of getting with the right person, sometimes the thing that holds us back the most is the relationships we've been in. If we didn't have those relationships, they wouldn't be holding us back. And the connection of sex connects us spiritually, and a lot of energy is transferred. So it's kind of sometimes it's hard to break those things. I've actually sat and worked with a lot of people of saying, have you cut the sexual cords? We all cut the cords, but did you cut the sexual cords? And they're like, what do you mean? I said, the one thing we have, and mostly in bad relationships, what we have is a lot of sex. But we have those cords are very strong, and they need to be cut and severed. And I've noticed that when you get people to sever those, it's easier for them to let go of the person they were with. And even in the process, when you have a breakup, I think the first thing you should do is cut those cords. In the process of cutting those cords, that's the quickest releasement you can do when you're letting go. So whatever's going to happen after the fact is going to happen quicker, and it's going to happen for the best interest of everyone concerned. But we think we need to hang on to things quickly because they might not turn out the way we want them to, not realizing they're going to turn out the way they're supposed to in the first place, no matter what we do. And we're just kind of hindering the whole thing. I just feel like when you really attach yourself to something, you're just keeping it from unfolding naturally the way it's supposed to. Manipulation is an attachment. So, you still there?
Yes, I am.
I'm just saying, it's not a religious thing. It's a spiritual
thing. No, it's actually not. I agree with that. I actually wasn't physical with the person I was with for many of those reasons. And look at the intensity that I there was a very intense connection, and I'm actually glad there wasn't a physical one, a sexual one. I mean, we had feelings for each other physically on that level, but I'm just glad that that wasn't something that I did just because, you know, I'm really cautious of who I'm connected to because, you know, you don't want certain spiritual connections or things hindering you for your next relationship. And it's not that it's a mistake to do that with anyone because I don't think it's a mistake. But in my life right now, I just felt that that's not a connection I want to have with someone that if I'm not committed to them fully. And it's just interesting how the emotional ties are somewhat still there and we weren't physical with one another. So it's that much harder when you've been physical because it's more of an attachment.
Yeah, it's also the situation of having sex. And most people don't realize that. And that's a bet. Put it to the point of saying, when you have that certain feeling when you have sex, that's a releasement.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of releasing those things, if there's any emotions that are there that you've been holding back, they also come back as well. They come right out.
Yes,
and
they do.
This one was looking at women and going, how come this guy distanced himself? Because all those emotions came out at that time. So I think in some sense where we should look at things and go, okay, instead of taking them so personal, we should try to look at the situations what they are. Cause, I mean, the one thing I've been learning a lot of times with certain relationships too as well is like when things fall apart, do they really fall apart? Or is it just things to be looked at? That two people have been pulled away from each other because maybe they can't see it because they're too close. So we pull them away. Doesn't mean they're not supposed to be together, but society right now thinks that when you break up with somebody, it's almost like relationships are throwable. Throw them away. Start all over again. I've had too many people say, well, this one doesn't work. And I said, why are you going to sit there and put those kind of expectations on your relationship before it even starts? When you should be looking at the thing like anything else you've done in your life. I mean, most people don't look at their jobs that way. They just look and go, I'm going to this job. I'm going to work. I'm going to put everything into it. I'm going to work it. And I'm going to accomplish these things to the point where they're actually planning on the things they're going to buy. And I said, why can't we do the same thing with relationships? And going into the relationship and saying, I'm going to put 40 hours in, and I'm going to get, instead of putting in money-wise, like we're going to get $4 a week, I'm going to just get this percentage of love in this great relationship. So therefore, I can start planning on things, like I'm going to plan on getting married and having kids, and we're going to have a great time.
I feel like women do that, though. I feel like women do exactly that. And when they invest so much and, you know, their partner, whether it be male or female, doesn't, you know, do the same, they're devastated, resentful, or heartbroken if the relationship ends because they invest in it like a job. I feel like women do that.
I understand. But the one thing I want to stress to women out there, too, is that there's guys that do the same thing, too, as well. So if you are a person that goes into a relationship, and even if you get scared and you run the other way, it's the idea of understanding that what you've created is affecting not just you, it's also affecting the other person on the other end, that the expectations that you put into the relationship, he also had those expectations too as well. And now he doesn't have those things, and maybe the questions he's asking is, you know, why would someone do that, like put all that out there and then take off and turn around and go the other way?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like duality. There's on both sides of the equation here, there's always people doing the same thing. And I'm just saying, if you're with a person who's done those things and then does a 180 for you, and it's like I said before when we first started the show, that we do need to sit down and look at those things. And the only way you're ever going to get any kind of answers, really, seriously, that you would take seriously, is to hear it from the mouth of the person that you're wondering about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we could actually have that kind of strength to sit down with each other and say, this is how I feel right now. And the reason I want to run is because I'm so scared that I might lose it. You know, because a lot of people do that. They run away. They throw a wrench into it. They destroy it before it gets destroyed because of the fear of just that. It might happen. So therefore, they create it themselves. But they have to understand that in the process of the relationship, there were two people there. And by doing that, they're not taking any kind of consideration in the person's on the other side. They're just worrying about their own fears.
Yeah.
So at that moment, it becomes selfish, and they're scared, and they want to run away. But the thing I guess I would stress most when I do relationship counseling with people in those same situations is to sit down with them and go, you know something? There's some insecurities here going on. There's some fears going on. And the only way these fears and insecurities are ever going to be dealt with is to work through them. The problem and the situation of being in a relationship and loving each other unconditionally would realize that and say, okay, then we need to sit down and do this, or have the guts to come to your spouse and say, I have a fear. I feel like this is going on. Or if there's a controlling factor where you feel like the person's controlling you. You know, I think by sitting down and talking about it, you might find out that the person not being controlling is just that you're two are intuitive to each other, insightful to each other, that they see things. And it's more of a protection. And we would look at that kind of thing, that people do those things. Just because we've never had that in our lives before doesn't mean we haven't attracted it this time. And that's the thing we've got to understand, because we've gone through bad relationships, right? We want something different. Well, in the process of getting something different, you're not going to know how it feels because it's different than anything you've ever been through. So to sit there and judge it because, let's say the person's too old, what does that mean? What does it mean, too old? Does it mean they're about ready to fall in the grave and one will marry this person? Or does it mean I have nothing else to use it as an excuse because I'm not really willing to deal with my fear, so I have to come up with something else that's concrete that people around me will sit there and say, yeah, he's too old, gotta go. So I'm looking for that kind of support, not realizing I'm really looking for support, but that's not the kind of support you're really looking for. You're looking for someone to walk up to you one day and go, what the hell is wrong with you? Here's something that works, it's great, and you're looking for excuses to get out of it. So therefore, that is a pure indication that what is going on and what you do feel is real. Because why would you run away from something that didn't exist? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
So when we look at the situation, what we're looking for, and like I said before, it's like one of those things of going through these things to get to the common denominator. We're looking for people to love us unconditionally. But if we don't sit down and have these conversations with each other, we might find out that we're not loving unconditionally. That's why we're not getting it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean we both can't give it to each other. But those fears are keeping us from doing it. So therefore, they have to be talked about and worked through, or you're never going to have a good relationship because you're always going to have those same kind of things to run away.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't know to talk through their fears. I hear a lot of people talking about their boyfriends, and I know there's women out there who do the same thing, but I just hear it frequently where, you know, he's afraid so he runs away. And a lot of men that I know that tell me that, friends, I'm like, well, why don't you just talk about it with, you know, your girlfriend or the girl you're dating? Oh, no, I can't do that. And I guess they're just not, you know, they weren't brought up to talk about their feelings. So, you know, it's classic.
Yeah, but you do. You're talking about your fear, too.
Exactly, but that's what I mean. The fear is with their feelings. So that's, you know, what I was referring to. And I see that a lot, that people run from that type of stuff where they have a fear of commitment. But I sometimes think it's not really a fear of commitment. It's a fear of losing your freedom.
I think people should look at the situation of freedom and what it is. It's like the idea of the process of wanting to be with somebody. It's not a compromise or something you're giving up. It's something that gets X'd out because of the decisions you've made. So when we look at the situation, it goes right back to you. You made the decision to do so. That's why this thing's being taken out of your life. I've seen this with girls who sit there going, well, I don't want to lose my friends and family. Well, actually what you do, if you sit there and go along with the relationship, you don't see nothing wrong with the relationship. You just see a guy who wants your attention. And you're using the excuse that I don't want to give up my friends and family. Well, no one's asking you to give up to friends and family. What they're asking for is to get the attention that you said you were going to give to them in the first place by making the commitment.
Yeah, well, then sometimes I guess women say that, then they have delusions of what relationships are. You don't have to give up your friends and family to be in a committed relationship. Maybe they're used to giving up their life for another person. That could be someone that was previously codependent or just, you know, not having a life of their own. And maybe when they get into commitments, they're used to ignoring their friends and family. So maybe they're trying to break out of that, but they don't know how yet because all they know is when they're in that relationship, they're the person that disappears from the family and friendships. So
they could be using the friends and family as an excuse not to commit completely to the relationship.
That's another excuse for fear of commitment. Right. Well, that's obviously a person who doesn't want to be committed. I'm a woman, and a woman says something like that, and she doesn't mean, and she's making it up, she doesn't want to be in the relationship at all. So, you know.
Well, sometimes it's a situation, too. You got to look at them. Each one of these things are individuals, too. I mean, if you have a relationship where a person comes on gangbusters and gives you all these things that they want, and then they use the idea of friends and family, it's the idea of looking at the situation to see if there was just not the one excuse or was there many excuses. If you get many excuses, it's definitely a person who's fearful but not willing to deal and face those fears of what they're causing. So therefore, they also have friends and family and people around them who keep telling them. I'll just put it this way. When I sit here and said that you need someone in your life to walk up to you one day and just go, what the hell are you doing? Why are you treating a person the way you are in favor of hanging on to friends and family? Because we sit here and talk about let go. Let go works with anything and everything. When you let go, you let things unfold the way they're supposed to unfold. Therefore, you see the truth. When you see the truth, some people have a tendency to throw a wrench in before we get to that point of truth because it's like the idea of having feelings about certain people. Family and friends are the same way. You have these feelings about people that you don't really feel like they're really there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into a situation of a relationship where there is somebody there for you who does back you up, who supports you, who wants you to be the best you can be, who can see your talents and gifts and stuff, and wants you to utilize those things and just really experience the fullest of who you are. And then you're with this person, you feel the same way, that you want to do those things, and you just feel like that there are no limits and everything is just a possibility. And then you have these friends and family who come in and say, well, are you sure about this? And this kind of things. We need to look at those people and keep going forward because we don't see no problem with the relationship. It's just that these people are starting to convey what they want, and we're starting to worry that we might lose them, not realizing that if we just continue to let it play itself out, we'll find out who really cares about.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sometimes when people are raised by a certain group of people within a certain community of family and friends, they're like, used to the negativity and the doubt, and
right.
they're raised, and that insecurity develops the mentality. So they're always doubtful. They don't know to listen to their own intuition. They don't know to trust their instincts. They don't know that they could figure out what's best for them, because other people who did not succeed in healthy, you know, in achieving healthy relationships, will put the doubt in their heads, and that's usually where that comes from. And you know, they have to learn to grow as a person and realize that they want something more and they deserve better. And you know, it's really, like you said, it's really about self-love.
It's like you talked before about freedom and individuality. Individuality and freedom also have the same thing, like you said before, learning who you are, what you're going to stand up for, what you're going to do. And in the process of finding out your friends, the idea of emphasis, I was telling people this last weekend about, you need to read this book called 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And I said, chapter 8, talks about friends and family, how certain women have a tendency to use those as excuses, when all it is a fear of commitment. Or I don't feel like committing to this relationship because I feel like if I do, the friends and family represent what they're going to lose. They don't want to lose what they have. It's like you're looking at tarot cards. I would see it as a two of swords. It's a choice between the past and the future, not realizing that some friends and family are tied to the past. So by being with the right person, which is your future, these people get X'd out because of who they really are. They're not good for you. They've always been talking you down. They've always been telling you or giving you advice that reflects their own lives.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said before, because I see a lot of that in my own family, my extended family, and I have to just not pay attention to what they say. I literally block them out because that's your life. That's not my life. they want to tell you how it's going to be. Yeah, they just have no clue. They really don't.
My biggest thing is the ideal to be with the right person, but be in a situation where that person can actually say and feel, let's put it this way, they can feel, they can express it, no matter what it is. I mean, we talked about this earlier, too, where it's like, I think it was yesterday, we're talking about, this is why I want to see the relationship, where a person can look at you and say, that trait really drives me up the freaking wall. But without it, you wouldn't be who you were and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And or to take to the point of like this, but you know, look at your friends and you say, I'm in a relationship. Either respect it or don't. But if you get X'd out, don't be mad because you made the choice. Same thing with family. I did this with my mom. I don't like what you do for a living. And it took some courage to sit there and come to a point and say, you might not like what I do, but I have no intentions of stop doing it anytime soon. I just wish you would respect what I do for a living. I know you don't like it, but at least be respectful and supportive, because that's what they want back in return. And
yeah.
to have that kind of honesty to sit there and say those things. And the same thing with your friends. I mean, I've said that with my friends. I mean, be blunt. I'm pretty blunt with everybody. When you look at them and go, for example, when I got married, everybody was, all my friends are like, ooh, she's the greatest thing in the world, blah, 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 blah. And then we get divorced. And then they're all like, well, we could have told you. And I'm like, my comment was, then why didn't you? Why don't you just get the hell out of this room and go think about that? Because, see, you didn't do that. You were all happy and all there. And don't forget you wasn't. I don't forget, because I think I got there. I said, if you would have been honest with me on how you really felt, you could have saved me 10 years. And the ideal is I'm mad at you.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that you just said that when, you know, your mom didn't like your job, that you said you were going to do it regardless. So that's probably what your friends thought, because your family's usually the one to get on your case when they don't like someone you're with or something that you're doing. But your friends try to support whatever you claim to be happy about. So that's really what that was about with your friends. They loved you enough to support your decision. And, yes, yeah, sometimes people will speak up and say things. Like, I will, but in a very either direct way based on how close I am to you, and in an indirect way if I'm not really close to you. But I think that they may have just been being supportive of your decision. And that's what friends usually do.
Well, that's true, too. I'm just saying, if they would have kind of like, I like hearing people being, you know, like, okay, you guys are getting married, and that's great, and we're very supportive. But if they have some kind of inkling about the situation, too, I think they should express that.
Well, it's kind of scary when someone's going to get married and you wait that long to tell them.
That's true, too. I guess we could look at the situation, too, and say that maybe the when we got married and everything else, the thing they saw about and everything else, maybe it's exactly what they felt. But the one thing I didn't like was after the fact of them saying, well, we could have told you. I said, well, then why didn't you? So
well,
it's
yeah,
like putting them in their place and saying,
yeah.
But did you really feel that? Or is it just now that we're not together, you want to just go along
yeah.
with what's going on? I don't want that.
Well, people
to
don't
want to
be, they don't want to get killed, you know, the saying, kill the messenger. They don't want to, people don't want to be privy to that. They don't want to be a victim of that. They don't want to be attacked. You know, I just like I had different thoughts about one of my friends getting married to someone, and I kept them to myself. I just gave her advice just to keep her going, and now she's getting married in a month or so, and she's happy. And the guy treats her very well. But, you know, they had their disagreements in the beginning. I thought something worse was going to come out of it, but I kept that to myself because it's her job to figure that out. I didn't want to put bad blood on it. I just felt like she'll figure that out. She's really smart, you know, if that's the case, if something's really wrong. So you want to be a good friend, you want to be supportive, you want to be honest, but you don't want to be interfering. And that's something that friends try to do. And they're afraid, too. They don't want you to dislike them.
Well, I'm just saying, with the situation being asked a question, what do you think about this girl? That's opening up the door and say, how do you feel about this person, and get it out there. But I agree with it, too. I don't think that, I think friends who are sitting there telling you things and giving advice without being asked are fearful. But I don't think it's fearful what they say. Like, I was dating this one girl, and I just wanted her to, and I still want her to come to me and to say, and just express her real feelings. And I personally think that she has those feelings. And I've had people sit there and say, well, you know, you really can't express those feelings to her because she's not ready to deal with it. And I say, well, if it's happening and it's unfolding and things are happening and the interaction between the two of us, and if she asked the question, I think it should be said. Because if you're not saying it, then you're lying. And they're like, well, you know, there's certain things you can't do and can't do. And I'm like, the thing I can't do the most was, I'm the relationship counselor, and this guy's a construction worker. Now, who are you going to believe? I sit here and said, no, I live my life the way I talk and the way I talk to everybody else. And if I don't, in the process of giving out advice to other people, I have a tendency to hear what I need to do, too, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me change things around. I said, are you willing to do the same thing? Because you're sitting here and you're telling me something, but it seems like you have the same opinion about girls and women, the same thing, no matter what happens. And that one guy was like, every time I ask him anything, I said, this girl here does this. Oh, she's messing around. And it seemed like no matter what the scenario was, his answer was, she's messing around.
Well, yeah, because
so
he probably doesn't, if she's doing anything not out of character, it's almost like he wants to be overly suspicious. That way he's not a fool. So he'd rather that it's like, I'm not going to be a fool. I'm not going to be a sucker. I'm not going to be taken advantage of. So right away, if I notice something I don't like, I'm going to go with that she's cheating. So I'm not going to be wasting my time believing that she's truthful and then one day find out she's not and I'm an idiot. I'd rather distrust her from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He wants to be on guard, and that's crazy. Like, that's, if you're living like that, you're really insecure. But then it's like, who are you dating? Like, I mean, I guess my question to you is, when you describe the women that you've been dating since you were married, are these women exciting to you? Like, that's my question to you, if you want to answer it. Like, do they come across as, like, do you find them to be exciting?
The last girl I was dating was very exciting and very caught up in the whole thing where it was like, I tried and really worked hard at it to see her. Nothing sexual, not what she wore or what she did. It was just the idea of always trying to really let go, love her unconditionally, and see her for who she was.
Mm-hmm.
No expectations of anything else, and do it that way. I mean, there were times where I got, where she would be very open about a lot of things, and then there's other things she wasn't, and I was always a person who asked questions, like, why would you be so open about one person but not another person? And, you know, it's just one of those things of wanting someone to be totally honest with me and say, even if you didn't want to be with me, to sit here and say, I love you, I care about you, I love you intensely, but right at this moment, I don't think I really want to settle down. That would be okay. Or anything that goes along with this theory, as long as it's the truth. But the one thing that bugs me the most about relationships because of what I do and because of what I am, that when people lie to me, or they don't tell me the truth, or they try to be deceitful and try to take it somewhere else, I see it. I feel it. And I have to, as one person, as one friend of mine said, she goes, I've never seen a person who expresses himself all the time. And isn't that kind of exhausting? And I was like, no, it's not. It's actually exhilarating to go, okay, I'm pissed, and to express why. Because I have a tendency in detail, okay, this is why I'm mad. Or this is why I asked the question about this one guy. Because you were very detailed about your other friend, but for this one, you didn't. But that would make me feel, it made me suspicious. Because of her actions, she was very open about everything and anything. But there were certain things that she wasn't, and I was just asking that. What made me mad was, it's just, I was asking a question. Why? And I'd actually gotten some messages from my angels, and I expressed those to her, which, you know, she didn't deny. She even asked me more about what the angels said, to feel, and I said, okay, so this is what they said. So I tell those things. I don't hold anything back. And then people say, well, you're being kind of rough and mean. I said, no, I'm not. I'm being totally honest. And if the person on the other end takes it for exactly what it is, then they have the information they need too as well, especially if there are any kind of fear going on. They'll understand. If it's a fear of not, it's like, I want to commit to you because I'm scared. If I do, then I'll be by myself or I'll be lonely and you won't be there. Not realizing in the sense what they're doing to themselves is being lonely. And they would sit there and just commit to the relationship and say, okay. Because, like I said before, live the moment. And that moment, that person was still there. The relationship was still going on. But to sit there and question that, you're already looking at the end, but you're also, in your worrying and your lack of faith, you're basically dictating the outcome. So you can't sit there and blame anybody else but yourself. And then, I'm just saying, in the midst of truth, I wouldn't say every person I've ever been with is exciting, but I can tell you why I was with them. And it's one of those things where there's sometimes you question things, but after you get away from the situation, you see things exactly how they unfolded, why they did. My ex-fiance was one of those people where I sit there and talk to her. And then I realized after I got away from her, I'd written some poems because of us being together, and then the lack of us not being together, I wrote some poems. In the midst of reading these poems, which I actually did this on the air, I was talking about how you feel, how you need to express yourself. And no matter if you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, those feelings, they still exist within yourself, so they need to be expressed. But I said, this is what I did in the process of expression. I wrote poems. Well, in the midst of reading these poems on the air, I just realized that these poems were talking about past tense. And the process of past tense, the past lives that I saw together came very clear that they were just ways of us coming together to realize we wasn't supposed to be together. Push and propel each other to go in two different directions. So therefore, we could both have what we wanted. But it took like 4 or 5 lifetimes to do that. And in this lifetime, the poems, which were basically, as I wrote them, were in the past tense of things that we did. But when I read the poems, we didn't do those things. There was a couple of things we did, but there was some things we did. But I started realizing it wasn't in this lifetime, but they did have. But they were past tense things I was writing about. So it gave me the clarity to understand that that's why we every time we come together, we don't stay together, because we're not meant to stay together. We're meant to we're meant to get to that point of making that decision to move on. The same thing with the girl was dating there for a while. I mean, she sat there and said to me, which I thought was kind of funny, of her looking for ways to justify why she was pulling away instead of looking at her own fears that she'd fallen deeply in love with somebody and everybody else kind of telling her you couldn't do that. So I've seen this before where people just try to justify and think that all of her friends and family are saying all these things, and if she conforms to them, then they stop. And all I have to do is get rid of one person. Compared to if I stay with him, I got to get rid of do that. So what we got to do is we got to look at the person and start denouncing things. Oh, you're too old, or you're this, or you're that. So looking at the situation, how do you feel? And then you start seeing the thing of denial and then all kinds of stuff where now they've come to the point where they realize the feelings are real, but they don't want to deal with that, so they cut everything out that has anything to do with it. She sent my ring and my necklace back to me, saying that she felt like it was the right thing to do because it meant so much to me. And I was like, for some reason, I feel like if I look at the situation in reverse of what she says, then it makes sense. If I look at the way she says it and the way she's trying to portray it to me, she's trying to convince me of something. And it's like me going back to what I've always taught before. When people try to convince you of something, they're trying to get away from what they know. But they know that it's real. But I got to sit there and come up with all kinds of ways to say it's not. So therefore, I have to deal with those feelings. And usually what you get is, we've heard this before with the boomerang effect, where they deny it so much, then it just kind of propels them back to us anyway. But it doesn't happen until we let it go. Which is kind of one of those things of, like the coyote when he tries to shoot himself across the canyon. There's a couple failures for a while. It's not until he realizes he can't have what he wants, but once he lets go, what happens when he lets go? We go to a commercial, but...
I know.
It'll
come to you when you let go of, I guess, you manifest,
yeah.
And then you let go, and then it comes to you.
Yeah, but and the Roadrunner and the coyote, when he goes through all those crazy things he does, what happens? The Roadrunner comes to him.
Exactly.
So, I was watching
this. Flow right to you. It's one of my students used that as an example when we were talking about using positive thoughts to get you through a rough situation. And she had just talked about losing a playbook. And once she finally stopped freaking out about it and went on with her day to go, I think if she was in a tennis game, I think it was, a basketball game. When she got to the locker room, her friend gave her her playbook because she left it with her. So it came to her. It found her. It's interesting that you brought that up because that's been happening a lot, just letting go and everything will come to you that you've manifested. Just, you know, it'll come right to you. But I was just saying asking you that question about you, who you date, because of the work you do, people are very much attracted to your shine, your light, and they love your energy and they want some of it. And very dynamic or exciting women, don't get me wrong, they're wonderful. I consider myself to be one. But I have a very balanced energy about myself because I have so much intensity. I know how to balance my energy. And there's some women that love the quality that you have, but they also love to take the ups and downs with it because they know you see so much. And, you know, it's a matter of changing our frequency and attracting a certain type of individual that will appreciate and respect certain boundaries and not take advantage, and someone who actually knows what they really want. You know, like not letting go of your own expectations in relationships. It's okay to not be so rigid with the expectations, but you seem like a relationship person and you deserve someone that can give you what you can give them as well, even with our differences. I just feel like it's, you know, a series of women who, you know, have their issues but are probably very good women, some who may not be, but you're very deserving of the right woman for you. And I just hear a lot of women who don't know what they want,